with you.
And also with you.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. This feast of the body and blood of the Lord calls to mind two very important events, one of which we share in common, and one that's something that's only for priests. We'll talk about the priest one first. Last week, the Archdiocese ordained, the Church of Cincinnati ordained three men to the sacred order of the priesthood. And it's always good for other priests to go and witness this event and participate in it because it reminds us of who we are and what we are to do, and we can forget that sometimes. We get so much involved in the stuff going on in parishes and in our missions that we do that we tend to forget who it is, what it is we're about, and who we are and our being. And so last week we remembered that, and right after the priest was ordained, after the hands of the bishop had laid on his head and the prayer of consecration has been said, the priest is given the vestments of his new office, the stole, which now he wears down the front, and then the chasuble, which is the appropriate attire of the priest for the celebration of the Eucharist. After that happens, the priest goes and kneels before the archbishop, and the archbishop consecrates his hands by anointing his hands with the sacred chrism, the same chrism that's used when young men and women are confirmed and when children and adults are baptized. It's a consecratory oil which says you're about something different now. And after the priest's hands are anointed and he's back, people then bring up the gifts, brings up a chalice and a paten, in which is a wine with water mixed in it and also the paten with the host on it. And it's presented to the archbishop. And each of the newly ordained priests goes up to the bishop and touches the chalice and paten. And the archbishop tells the newly ordained and every priest these words, accept the gifts from the people of God whose servant you are. Know what you are doing. Live the mystery you celebrate. Pattern your life on the mystery of the Lord's cross. Those are key words. The first, know what you are doing. Know that as a priest you have been empowered by Christ to serve the church and to serve the church in the most important way, which is to provide the church with the body and blood of Christ, with everything the church needs to become holy. And as priests, I have to remember that. Every priest needs to remember that role we have as sanctifiers. Then he says, live the mystery you celebrate, the mystery of the life of Christ, the mystery that's one of obedience and one of generosity and one of forgiveness and one of mercy and one which leads to the cross, which says the last words, pattern your life on the mystery of the Lord's cross. Know that for us to be true servants, we must be willing to give everything and not hold anything back in our service of God, first of all, and in the service of the people that God has entrusted to us. That's a very humbling thing for priests to remember, but then we have something we have in common, which is in many ways just as important, and that is The reception of your first Holy Communion. There's not one person here that probably doesn't remember the day they received the Lord for the first time and how important that was. I know how important it is because other than Easter and Christmas, those are the only times the church is jam-packed. You couldn't fit another person in with a shoehorn. There's so many. And they come and they see the children have reached the age of reason, which they can tell the difference between a piece of bread and the body and blood of the Lord. They can tell the difference. And because they can tell the difference, that after the bread and wine that are brought up to the priest have been consecrated, the Holy Spirit has come upon those gifts through the words of Christ, which the priest recites. Those are no longer bread and wine. They are the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. As real as it gets, that's who it is. And we rejoice that our children can make that great step in maturity to know how important it is. It's a sign of growth in our life. And yet the strange thing is, it's much, much more than simply a one-time experience. Our first communion should lead then to hundreds, if not thousands, of communions afterwards. And that's where we have to ask ourselves the question, is that going on? Do we have the same excitement of receiving the body and blood of Christ now that we did when we were 8 years old? Now, truth be told, it ought to be better because we've grown in our maturity, we've grown in our prayer life. We ought to be more and more aware of it, but it seems to me we become less and less aware of it. It's a tragic thing because the one thing that can heal the world, the one thing that can heal each of our souls, is the body and blood of Christ. How powerful is that gift of his body and blood? So powerful that it can draw out demons. So powerful that it can heal the sick. So powerful that men and women throughout the history of the church have given their life in defense of that gift of the Holy Eucharist. That when we come into this building, we enter into a different world, a different life, a different existence, an existence which is not only about the physical world, but now it's about touching the spiritual world, the world of God's grace. And in earlier times, we had ways of expressing that. We would know because we would come dressed, often quite differently than we were dressed in the world. One of the parishes I help out is a very poor parish. It's about 80-20 African-American. And I'll tell you, those people, some of them don't have two stones to rub together. But boy, they come dressed to the nines at church. They come in, they know they're receiving Jesus. They know he is their life. And they show it by how they dress. They show it by their demeanor. The men come in and they bow their head and they take off their hat because they know they're in a holy place. They come in and recognize if they have gum in their mouth, that gum is gone because in this life we are receiving God and nothing should be in our mouth except the Lord. No gum allowed. That's an insult to God to be chewing gum and receiving his body and blood at the same time. An insult. And we forget that. We forget who it is we're receiving and the gifts that are there. And the little sacrifices that God asks of us, in the mainstream, they're very little. In the old days, before I was born, you would have to wait 12 hours of fasting before receiving the body and blood of the Lord. Now it's just 1 hour. And even in that hour, you can have water and you can have medicine. But to set apart the fact that I am going into something that is so different, so powerful, so loving, that I have to prepare my mind and my body and my soul for it. Because who I receive will change me. Who I receive will make me be a better person, a better Christian, will help me grow in holiness. And if we receive that gift and we don't notice the effects, then there's something else we have to ask ourselves. And that is, what have we put in the way of that? And we might want to ask, when was the last time I'd received the sacrament of penance? Maybe there are serious sins weighing on our souls that are blocking that grace of the Holy Eucharist from making us better, by helping us deal with difficulties, by giving us all these things. It's all there. But the strangest thing is how many, many Catholics nowadays seem to want to refer to the Holy Eucharist as the bread and the wine. I tell people this, and I make no bones about it, because I remember what the bishop told me as a priest. Know what you're doing. If I have someone come up to me who says, I'm giving out the body, or I'm sorry, if I'm giving out the bread or I'm giving out the wine, I want to tell them to go sit down and go get a catechism lesson. Because if you're only giving out bread and you're only giving out wine, then you are wasting your time and I have wasted my life. Because that's not what it's about. It's about the body and blood of the Lord. It's about someone who is an extraordinary minister of the Eucharist has been given this gift to be able to hand the body of Christ and the blood of Christ to somebody. Not bread and wine. Not hardly. Bread and wine is not going to save your soul. Bread and wine is not going to get you to heaven. But the body and blood of Jesus Christ will. And sometimes I ask people, why are you so scared to say that? I'm ashamed to say those words, body and blood. Well, you shouldn't be. Because as St. John says, my flesh is real food. My blood is real drink. We're not saying anything other than what the Lord himself has told us. I am giving you my flesh. I am giving you my blood. And the ironic thing, and this is something that's shown up in the archdiocese and other parishes, that in some places of the city where there's gang activity, most of the gang activity is centered around demonic cults, or centered around devil worship. It's a scary thing. In my job as a chaplain, I've run into many young men and women, boys and girls really, who have taken wood burrs and put pentagrams in their arms as a sign of a tattoo that they belong to Satan. And some of those people have come to church to receive the Holy Eucharist, but not to receive Jesus, to take that body and blood, to take the body out, so they can celebrate a black mass and desecrate it. Desecrate it. It bothers me. There's been several times here and at other places where after Mass, people have been cleaning the pews and we find a consecrated host in a hymnal here. What's that about? And we find a host that was half chewed stuck under a pew. Is that where God belongs? We have to ask ourselves this. And I'm speaking from experience as someone who's come here. I've seen it in the pews. I've seen it. We seem to have trouble sometimes knowing who Christ is. But the one who does it, and this is something that really shaped my life in a way that I'll never forget. When I was a chaplain one time, and I was working at a Jewish hospital, and every time I worked with the sick, I carried with me the Blessed Sacrament. Would never go in there without carrying the Blessed Sacrament. And I'd go in there. Well, one day it just so happened there was a gang leader that got shot. He was on that floor being taken care of, and these gang people were coming in and out. And I was standing at the nurse's desk at the unit clerk station, and I was talking with them. And all of a sudden, this one kid comes out all gothed up with the black and all this and the tattoos and the piercings, and it's obvious he's a member of this gang. I'm just standing there in my blacks, my clerics. And he comes up to me, and he has this awful look in his eyes. Very angry looking, he says, why are you carrying him? Don't you know how much he is tormenting me? You get out of here or I will kill you. At which time, one of the nurses, a male nurse who happened to be, makes me look petite, said, sir, let me show you the door. And security did. And one of the nurses says, what in the world did you do to him? I said, I've never met him. I said, but I was carrying this. And I held up the pyx, the golden pyx, which has in it the body of Christ. And behind that nurse's station were two young ladies, two nurses that were lapsed Catholics until that day. After that happened, they said, Father, I need to talk to you. I said, what would that be about? I need to go to confession and get back to the church because I've never seen anything like that happen. And if I'm away from Jesus who's given me this, I need to get back. And they're back to this day. It's an amazing thing. The power of the Eucharist that we often take for granted, that we neglect. And yet we have now this tradition that's coming up in many parishes, and you'll be celebrating it here tomorrow. The Corpus Christi procession, in which the priest with the servers, the first communicants, and all of the parish process with the Blessed Sacrament and the monstrance, saying, he is our salvation. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will save the world, will save your heart. And as you see that, we know now why we are alive. We know now why we are Catholics. We are Catholics to receive the Eucharist, to get that gift of God's love. And I know now why I'm a priest. I'm a priest now because God has chosen me, not because of anything special I have, but because he believed that I would be a servant of his, whose job is to consecrate simple elements, humble elements, that become the body and blood of his Son. So on this Feast of Corpus Christi, let us take this reality to heart. Let us not neglect the Holy Eucharist. Let's not ignore the power of the Lord and his love. Let us receive that gift today on our tongue or in our hands lifted up, that when I or one of the extraordinary ministers of the Eucharist says the body of Christ, we say with all our heart, Amen, Lord. I know it is you. I'm not going to run out of here as if I got something important to do, because I know the most important thing I have, you have given me, and that is yourself. I will sit for a while and let you speak to me. I will sit for a while and let you consecrate me. And I will tell you what I need to be your servant and to be better at who you have created me to be.